Turn with me in God's Word again to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, we're going to read a few passages now. First, 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel 16, where we'll read the first four verses there. Second Samuel 16 is describing David leaving Jerusalem as his son Absalom is coming into the city. Second Samuel 16, verse 1, and when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? That is, where is Mephibosheth? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Now turn a couple of chapters later to chapter 19. Now David is returning back to Jerusalem after the defeat of Absalom. Let's just read verses 14 and 15 that speak of that. And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. Now skip down to verse 24. 2 Samuel 19, verse 24. And we'll read to verse 30. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he, that is, Mephibosheth is speaking of his servant Ziba, Ziba hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, forasmuch as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. That's the text, that verse right there. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, forasmuch as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. As we said, David, the aged king by this point of Israel, is returning back to Jerusalem after having to flee the palace in Jerusalem because of the attack from his own son, Absalom. Absalom tried to take the kingdom away from his father in David's old age. Eventually, this led to war between David's army and Absalom's army. In that war, Absalom himself was killed. to David's sorrow. But now, with Absalom and his army defeated, David is coming back to his palace. He's crossing the Jordan River, going from east to west, heading into Jerusalem. As he's coming back, 2 Samuel 19 tells us of a few interesting figures from David's past who welcome him back home. The first is Shimei. We didn't read about it, but it's there in 2 Samuel 19. You may read it. Shimei, perhaps you recall, was the man who, when David was going the other way, fleeing from Absalom, crossing the Jordan River from west to east, Shimei was up on a ridge hurling curses at David and throwing rocks at David down upon him below. Well, now that Absalom is defeated and David is coming back, Shimei realizes he's in some danger here. Scared for his life, scared that David is going to take the head off of his neck, he comes to brown nose David, suck up, try to make amends. Shimei is a manipulator and says what it takes to keep himself safe. But in contrast to Shimei, there is another character who is welcoming David back to his palace in Jerusalem, and that character is Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. He's lame on his feet. He can't walk. And David has had great compassion upon him and exalted him to be a member of David's own household, eat and drink at David's own table. This Mephibosheth, to whom David has shown such great mercy, as we read about this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 9, greets the king as he returns, not in pride and not with manipulation to try to get back into the good favor of the king like Shimei, but he greets the king out of deep, humble love for him. The same humble love that we must have this Thanksgiving Day, humble love that will lead to contentment and to gratitude in our life. The theme this morning is Mephibosheth's love for his king. Let's notice first, a past test. Second, humility of grace. And third, manifest in the life. Mephibosheth's love for his king, a test that he passed, humility of grace, and the manifestation of his love for his king in his life. As David meets Mephibosheth now on his way back to the palace, in David's mind, Mephibosheth has some explaining to do. Verse 25 of chapter 19. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?" He's talking about when he fled from Absalom and went this way. "Why weren't you there with me? Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth?" Mephibosheth was part of David's house. David had showed kindness to him, taking him in to the royal family. It was expected, of course, that everyone in the palace who was connected to the king would leave with David, go with David as a show of their allegiance to David. And Mephibosheth, too, he treated him as though he was one of his own sons. And yet there was no Mephibosheth when David crossed the Jordan this way, fleeing from Absalom. There was, however, Mephibosheth's servant, Ziba. Ziba had ridden out to meet David with all kinds of donkeys and with all kinds of gifts for David and for his house. Raisins, fruits, breads, wines. Chapter 16, verse 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And when David saw Ziba there, the servant with all of these things, the first question David had is, "Where's your master? Where's Mephibosheth?" He's supposed to be here. And Ziba's response was a lie. He lied. And he told David, well, that's the funny thing, David. Mephibosheth, this man to whom you showed such great kindness, he told me that he was going to stay behind when you left, and he was going to try to take advantage of this situation because he's the last remaining descendant of Saul, the previous king, and he's going to try to himself become king of Israel when you left the palace. That's why I'm here all by myself, David. So now when David comes back, and here's Mephibosheth standing there to greet him. Where were you, Mephibosheth? Why didn't you go with me? Did you stab me in the back, like your servant said? Did you forsake me after all the kindness that I've shown to you? Mephibosheth's response is to inform the king that Ziba, his servant, is a liar, and that Ziba is the one who is deceiving the king as he deceived Mephibosheth. And he explains to the king, King, because I'm lame on my feet, it's Ziba the one who took advantage of this situation. I told him to go saddle a donkey for me because I can't walk. And I told him to gather all of these things, the raisins and the breads and the fruits and the wine, to bring them to you. And he did all of that. But then he got in the car and left on his own and left me here. He saddled the donkey himself. And he knew I couldn't do anything about it. I can't walk. And he thought he'd ingratiate himself to you and find a way to gain in your eyes and get power and wealth. And your response was that you took everything away from me and you gave it to him. You said, everything that belongs to Mephibosheth now belongs to his servant David in your anger. And here I am now, left utterly desolate. I have nothing. And I'm lame on both my feet. And what you expect to read right after that is that Mephibosheth scoots his way closer to David, pulls David's tunic. I need to slice off my servant's head, David, and give everything back to me. He's a treacherous, evil servant. I'm desolate. I have nothing. And unless you return to me everything that you took from me and gave to Ziba, I have absolutely nothing. How can I provide for myself? I'm lame on both of my feet. But that's not what he says at all. In humility, he simply says, my Lord is like an angel of God. Do whatever you think is best, David. What right do I have cry out to the king? And you can imagine David is kind of scratching his head at this moment. What's going on here? Who do I believe, Ziba or Mephibosheth? And so he decides to put Mephibosheth to a test, though Mephibosheth doesn't know that he's taking a test. Verse 29 of chapter 19. And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba, divide the land. Many people are perplexed by this response of David and start accusing David of being unjust here. Well, you're now only giving half back to Mephibosheth when his servant was the liar and the one who was treacherous. Others are confused by what David says here because he says, I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. But he never did say, thou and Ziba divide the land. So what is he saying? But the answer is, you have to see, David is giving Mephibosheth a test. He's testing He's confused, David is. Who do I believe here? And he's testing Mephibosheth to see if his allegiance is true, if Mephibosheth really means what he says, if his heart really is set upon David. And by this, he's seeking to draw out what is really going on in Mephibosheth's soul, what's going on in his heart. Is Mephibosheth coming out here and saying these nice words, "Oh, my king, do whatever you want," because he's trying to suck up to me, just like Shimei is trying to suck up to me? Or is this really what's in his heart, this love for me? Are we going to go back here? And his servant Ziba was really right, and then when he gets the first chance, he's going to hire somebody to stab me in the back, try to take over the throne? Or does he really love me? What is in Mephibosheth's heart? So like Solomon, in his wisdom, to the two women who brought the child, Solomon proposes, let's divide the child in half and we'll see. David says, divide the land between the two of you. And he knows that if Mephibosheth is faking his humility and love in order to just try to get everything back from Ziba that he lost, that this is going to push Mephibosheth over the edge. If David only restores half of what Mephibosheth had back, and if Mephibosheth is trying to manipulate David, his true colors are going to come out right here. He's going to get mad. He's going to get upset. Or he's going to say something. He's going to come up with some reason why I have to give it all back to him. But if he's sincere and he loves me, in spite of not getting everything back that he lost, then I know what's really in his heart. That he honors me, that he loves me, and that he's content with what I decide. The result of David's test is that Mephibosheth speaks from his heart beautiful words of love for his king. Love for his king, contentment with what his king decides. Verse 30. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all. Let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace to his own house. Divide it in half, you say, half for me, half for Ziba. I don't care. Let Ziba have all of it. Give him everything if you want, if that's your will, O king. He can have the donkeys. He can have the goods, the land that we grew all these raisins and grain for the bread upon. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is that you return back home in peace, that you come back to your throne, and that you come back to me in peace with me, that my relationship with you is one of peace, that you come back to your kingdom and that I know your love for me. That's all I care about. All I care about is my relationship to you, O king. My union with you, my peace with you, means more to me than any land or goods or riches that you've given to me. Love for the king flowed out of Mephibosheth's heart. That's what David drew out of him by this test. What would come out of yours? And what would come out of mine under such a test? But you know, the Lord does test his people in the way that David tested Mephibosheth. And for the same reason, to draw out what is the state of our heart. Perhaps he tells us by his providence in our life. I'm going to take away some things from you. Send some turmoil into your life that had been going so normally, so perfectly. Half the joy I'll take away, give to somebody else. Maybe I'll touch your investments. Half your investments, take away and give to somebody else. half the income from your job, less than you had before. Take it away. Perhaps they'll take away half their health, half the health of their children. Perhaps take away nothing on the surface, but half of your joy, so that this is now a grind to you than what it used to be before. And let's see what comes out of the heart. Is it about me? Is your relationship to me what matters more to you than anything else? Do they love me, or only the things that I give them, or only what they experience, or only... Are they content with my ways with them as long as they have me, know they have me? As long as they value their relationship to me, how will we respond in times like this? None of us respond perfectly, of course. But how we respond in times like this is revealing to us especially. What comes out of the mouth? What we say when our job isn't what we want it to be, when our income isn't what we expected, when we're afflicted with some trouble or difficulty, when life just isn't as fun as it used to be or as enjoyable as we thought before, when plans don't turn out the way we wanted to, the half of our dreams seem like they're taken away and are not possible to us anymore, do we immediately play the part of the victim? Woe is me. My life is over. Are we ready to respond to God? What have you done to me? What have you done to me? And what have I done to you to deserve this? Don't you know I've been faithful to you this long? How could you let this happen to me? Or do we respond like Mephibosheth? My Lord, do what is good in thy eyes. If you decide to take away all of it, take away all of it, if you must. As long as I know that the King is coming back one day in peace for me. That he returns to his kingdom in the end. That he comes back for me, in love for me, in peace with me, to lift this relationship to its greatest apex in peace with him forever. As long as I know that it's good here, that there's peace between me and my King, that this relationship is strong, that it remains, that I'm united to him, that I will be with him now and forever. That he won't cast me away because of my sin, but delight in peace with me, then no matter what you decide to do with my life, Lord, and my earthly lot, it's okay. Do what seems best. You're the King. I can be content. I can be okay. Love for the Lord. Love in that relationship with the Lord produces contentment. And contentment opens the door to thankfulness, no matter what's happening in our life. As long as this is here, this is what matters to me more than anything else, then all the rest follows. Peace with one's lot. True contentment is peace with one's lot, knowing that the King is at peace with me. As long as that is maintained, and I know he's coming back for me to take me to himself, and I can rejoice because I have the greatest gift that's ever been given to any man. The King returns one day in peace for me. How was Mephibosheth able to respond to David's test the way that he did? So beautifully, so wonderfully, that the priority in his mind was this relationship to David that took precedence over the stuff that he would lose. What made his heart respond that way? The answer, people of God, is that Mephibosheth remembered grace. He remembered grace. Look what he says in verse 28 of chapter 19. For, because, here is how I respond this way. All my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? Mephibosheth has not forgotten the deep, deep mercy that was shown to him in the beginning by this his king David. Mephibosheth remembers that he was as a dead dog before David, and that's his own words in 2 Samuel 9 that we read earlier, that he was nothing. He was part of the house of Saul. Saul had tried to kill David, tried to prevent David from coming upon the throne. And Mephibosheth remembers that David had every right to kill him. David had the right to slay everybody in Saul's house when he ascended to the throne, as they often did in the Old Testament times. But especially for the treachery of Saul's house against him, there's no reason why David should not kill Mephibosheth. And yet David had done the opposite. He had deliberately sought out Mephibosheth out of his own mercy, out of his own grace alone. And Mephibosheth was there in Lodabar, fearing for his life, and David came and got him. He set his love upon him and lifted him out of his shameful and fearful position and brought him into his own family to sit at his own table, eating and drinking with the king. Mephibosheth had tasted grace, sovereign, free, undeserved grace, and he did not forget it. And when now it seems injustice has been done to him, his servant has deceived him, and David doesn't seem to understand it. Why is he only given half back to me? What's going on here? It doesn't matter to him. As long as I know the king loves me. My relationship to the king is good. What right do I have? Cry anymore to the king. I'm nothing but a wretch who deserves death. And though I've been exalted to the king's house, I don't forget who I was, where I came from, and that I don't deserve that place and position. Mephibosheth knows grace, and Mephibosheth remembers grace. That, people of God, will be the source of our valuing this relationship to the king above all else, above all else that he gives us or else that he takes away from us too. It'll be remembering and savoring his grace. For you and me too were by nature dead men before the king. We're born into the house of Adam, the house that rebelled against God and deserved only the king's death. We're nothing before him, nothing. We're lame on our feet, out of our deadness. We actively can't walk unto him. And yet the king has reached down by his sovereign grace and found us when we weren't looking for him and worked life in our hearts. And he's adopted us into his own family to be sons and daughters with him, made us part of his house, brought us to his table to eat and drink as princes and princesses. Fellowship and communion and love for him. You haven't forgotten that, have you? And even though it's been many years, long time, that you've been exalted and lived in his house as his son, you haven't forgotten where you've come from. Your place in his kingdom and the peace that exists between you and him, it's nothing that you've started to take for granted, is it? You haven't forgotten. Started to puff yourself up. Well, I deserve something more. I deserve all of this. Taking for granted the grace that's been shown to you, that he pulled you off of death row and made you to sit at his own table in love for you. And you see, you remember, I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve the food that I'm going to go to and eat after this worship service. It's a gift. I don't have a right to it. Don't deserve the house. Don't deserve the family. Don't deserve the brothers and sisters of Christ around me. And all the gracious gifts he's given to me in my life. What right do I have anymore to cry unto the King? To complain about his ordering of my way. As a selfish and ungrateful child, I must place my hand over my mouth and only open when I'm ready to say to him, let him do what seems good in his sight. Order my life the way that he would, as long as I know that I'm at peace with him. And he's coming back to me again in peace. Mephibosheth manifested this love for David, contentment for David, even before David came back to him. But the whole time that David was gone, we read that he didn't wash himself or cut his hair or trim his toenails the whole time David was gone. Verse 24, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. What a sight and smell Mephibosheth must have been. As he's standing there, or not standing, he's lame. As he's there in front of David, he must have stunk horribly and looked horrible. But remember, what a sight and a smell he must have been these past number of weeks, months, before Absalom, back in the palace. Mephibosheth was back in the palace, and Absalom had come into the palace and taken it over for himself, he and all of his people. And Mephibosheth's not dressing himself or not clothing himself with clean clothes or trimming his hair or cutting his toenails. Everybody knew. Absalom knew too. It was a public declaration that he was siding with David. If you're going to be the king here, Absalom, it's not even worth me getting up to shave in the morning for you. I'm with David. It was a public protest. And Mephibosheth was taking his own life in his hands by doing it. Absalom could have killed him for it. In the heart of the child of God, content with God's way for him. Just so long as there's peace here and he comes back someday in peace, lives out of that contentment in allegiance to the king while he's away. In front of anybody who cares to know, is your heart right this Thanksgiving day? Knowing the grace of the king to you so undeserved, you're content with him and willing to live for him while he's gone. However he orders your life, serve him. And though it looks stinky and looks smelly even to other people around you, for love for this Christ, Are you willing to reek of love for him to the day he returns? Then, beloved, I assure you that though you look ugly to some, strange to some, have a funny spiritual smell about you to some, when the king looks upon you, beautiful, like this ugly, disheveled, lame, pitiful man. It's beautiful before the eyes of his king. Amen. Father, bless thy word to our hearts and grant us this love for thee by thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.